From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studio, and we're talking all about bicycling today. We're going to be talking later in the show about the ride across Wisconsin. Can you ride from La Crosse to Green Bay in one day? Well, we'll talk to some people who are about to do that, and or talk about some people who are about to do that anyway. And then later on in the show, we'll talk to the proprietor of a neat little bike shop on the north side of La Crosse called Wrench and Roll Collective, and that's in the later half of the show. Right now, let me introduce our first two guests. We've got Kirsten Finn, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Kirsten, thank you very much for joining us today on Newsmakers.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us on, Ezra.
Also joining us from Bike Fed is Chris Stint, who's the ride coordinator for Ride Across Wisconsin and lives and rides around the La Crosse area. Chris, thank you for joining us as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm really interested in hearing about the Ride Across Wisconsin, how this year is a little bit different from some years past, and all of that. We're going to get into that a little bit later in our conversation. But first, let's get the basics on Bike Fed. What is Wisconsin Bike Fed, Kirsten?
Well, Wisconsin Bike Fed is our statewide advocacy organization. And our mission is to make Wisconsin a great place to ride a bike. And we do that in a lot of different ways. One is just providing people with safe places to ride, both for recreation and for transportation. Educating riders of all ages on how to navigate their communities by bike. We do that online. We do that in person. And also keeping people who ride bikes informed and connected on issues that are important to them. Bike-friendly legislation. Great places they can ride in our state and vacations they can take around cycling, and also fun cycling events like the Ride Across Wisconsin and lots of great charity events across Wisconsin.
You think about the people who ride bikes, everything from small children to commuters going back and forth from to work or to the shops or whatever, to a more fitness-oriented or hobby-oriented bicyclist who might be really hitting the road or hitting the trails in a more extreme way, or in a way that to me sounds extreme. What do you represent? Like, who do you mostly represent at Bike Fed, or is it kind of a giant collection of people?
Yeah, we represent anyone who rides a bike. I mean, a lot of our work is around education programs that are teaching kids to ride a bike for the first time. And then also for adults who are learning to ride a bike for the first time. And then we also have classes just in bike handling. We have a savvy city cycling class that kind of teaches you the rules of the road and how to stay safe in traffic, which is for, adult riders. But we certainly also are here for the mammals, as we call them, the middle-aged men in Lycra who are out on the trails and on the streets putting hundreds of miles in each week.
I'm laughing at the analogy there. So when you talk about safety, I'm interested. Chris, you're familiar with biking all around La Crosse. Bicyclists are told at least once you're past that childhood stage, you know, bikes are vehicles. They go in the street, not on the sidewalk. And yet parts of town, that feels really, really treacherous. What's the best way for a bicyclist to handle those roads that might feel a little bit uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's a balance. And La Crosse is an interesting city because, we're between the river and the bluffs. And so, you know, a long, narrow city with some ways it's there's easier ways to get through. And then other times there's more challenges. And so I think that the best way to handle that is probably to stay off the roads that are not as bicycle friendly. You and I are probably both familiar with Losey, where there's a 25 mile an hour speed limit, which is not even a guideline. Most people are going 35 to 40 miles an hour. And, you know, no matter how avid I am, I just don't use that as a way to get places. So I think it's important to make sure that you know where the safest places are to bike, right? And to figure out where the bike lanes are. And King Street, which I think we're both familiar with, is a new bike greenway. And so they've been making modifications over the last couple of years. And actually where King and West Ave meet is closed right now because they're going to be getting rid of a turn lane and making that safer. And so when I'm biking downtown, that's going to be the route that I use. I try not to go down Cass Street if I can help it. There was a bit of a snafu with the engineering department, and they put some bump outs and some non-existent bike lanes. And I think that maybe was before you were in La Crosse. And so I think it's being smart. And then it's also just knowing how to be safe and when to take the lane as well. There are times when I find myself on busier streets, but I think riding savvy and smart makes a big difference as well.
Kirsten, what about the other side of that equation? We've got to be smart as riders, but also we need motorists to understand how they're responsible for sharing the road as well.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the things that the Bike Fed is really working on is, you know, a lot of schools in Wisconsin have cut back on their driver's education programs. And we are really advocating for putting driver's ed curriculum that deals with how you interact with vulnerable users, both cyclists and pedestrians and people with strollers or people in a wheelchair, just how as a rider it is, or as a driver, it is so very important to realize that you have a responsibility for the people who are also using the road that are, you know, on a vehicle that are that is much lighter than your car.
And by
And I
compare,
would,
you go ahead, Chris.
well, I was just going to say, we do have like in Lacrosse, for example, a bike pedestrian committee, and I'm part of that. And so when there are street redesigns coming up, like downtown, they're looking at redoing 3rd and 4th Street and trying to figure that out. That is definitely something that we, as we're able to in Bike Fed, right, in the communities where we're active, we're able to sort of be on those committees and to be able to advocate for better infrastructure. I'm a huge believer that bike lanes, as a driver, even if I hated cyclists, protected bike lanes are better because they get cyclists out of the road, right? And so the more we're able to share that information and be able to connect that to the folks who are doing some of that planning, the better things are.
And in terms of sharing the road, I mean, everybody gets irritated when they're in the car and they're not moving as quickly as they want to, and they can't get from A to B as quickly as they want to. But by comparison to someplace like Madison or Milwaukee or the cities, as long and narrow as La Crosse is, it's really a comparatively small town. So is Onalaska, so is West Salem, so is Viroqua, so is Holman. And I mean, being delayed by a couple of bicyclists is not going to throw you off your time game by more than a couple minutes. So just be patient, right?
Yes. If I could just give one message out, it would be patient. Absolutely. And people like to yell out their windows, and we like to try and, you know, have opportunities to have conversations. Recently, I was with Marvin Wanders, who is the owner of 360 Real Estate in La Crosse, which is a huge, I think they're one of the top five property tax payers in the region. And there's someone yelled out their window and they said, "You guys should be paying taxes on bicycles." And I thought, well, here's a guy who's the, you know, I actually asked him, I said, "Marvin, aren't you, don't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, usually we're, you know, we're second or third behind Gunderson or Quick Trip. I mean, you know, right up there." And riding his bike. And so again, some of that's just education. Drivers just don't realize, like, I own a car and I pay registration on it just like anybody else. And so, you know, it feels like minutes, but really, you know, if you can wait 10 seconds or 30 seconds, you can get around us safely, and then everyone feels better for sure.
When you're talking about somebody riding more for fun, more to see the scenery, or you know, we can all ride around our neighborhoods in La Crosse area and in all the surrounding cities that I just mentioned. I mean, it's pretty safe to ride around the neighborhoods that we all live in. But if somebody's looking for something off the beaten path, or at least off their beaten path, where do you go to find a new route or a new trail or just something that you haven't experienced on a bike yet?
Well, I'm always going to plug our website, the wisconsinbikefed.org. We have a lot of profiles of great routes on there, and we also do stories about different bike paths and trails and wonderful events that are happening all around our state. So there are lots of opportunities to go for a day trip or to take a bicycling vacation. And we also produce a ride guide every year, which I call the Sears Catalog of Bicycle Riding. It comes out in the springtime, and you can plan your whole summer looking through that catalog. There's something happening really almost every week in Wisconsin.
That sounds really interesting. And in terms of finding a local route, as I mentioned to you, I don't remember whether I mentioned it in this interview or before we started, but I'm a pretty large guy. I enjoy riding the bike, but I'd prefer most of my surfaces to be flat-ish. Is there a way, in the resource that you mentioned, Kirsten, is there a way to tell whether I'm riding up and down hills or whether I'm riding, you know, on a trail that's mostly on a pretty even plane?
Well, so I don't think we have that information on our website necessarily, but I know that if you look at the visitors and conventions bureaus in each community, they usually have more information on their bike maps about what the surface of each of those trails is.
Okay.
For example, I took a vacation to Vilas County. They have a wonderful trail system that connects all the small towns up in Vilas County. And some of them are paved. Some of them are crushed limestone. They were all very, very easy to ride on and not a lot of elevation. And then they have excellent maps that you can get all over Eagle River and all of those towns in their Visitors and Conventions Bureau.
Yeah, and I would say there's a lot of technology too, a lot of apps where we can connect you to someone else's resource, and then they'll have, I use routing all the time. In La Crosse, I'm sure you're aware, we have, you know, these 600-foot bluffs, and if you map out the right route, you can really enjoy it, and if you map out the wrong route, you can, you know, die somewhere out in the country halfway up a hill.
Well, hopefully
and
not.
So, well, hopefully not, but it sure feels like it. And so it's really helpful to get the elevation profile of the routes that you're riding. And so websites like Ride with GPS and Strava and different resources will have that. Bicycle Lacrosse, for example, has a lot of routes. We used to have a bike fest every Labor Day, and that's actually not happening anymore. But the website still exists, and so you can go there, and if you click on the route, for example, it will show you that elevation profile, and you can some of its distance, some of its elevation gain, some of its surface, like Kirsten was saying. There's a lot of different elements that go into that for sure.
Interesting. And so all the things that you just mentioned go into choosing what your instrument of the day will be. I mean, some people are really going to need a road bike. Some people are, I'm not comfortable riding a road bike. I feel like I'm going to crush those tiny little tires. So even though I don't do mountain biking, I ride on a mountain bike all through these city streets. And so how does somebody go about choosing the right equipment that they might need for their particular journey?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Some of it's preference, like you just said. And some of it's availability. Sometimes people do what is called underbiking, where they might take their road bike and then find out that they're on a crushed limestone path and they're comfortable with that. Other people will get there and realize it isn't the right fit, and so they might be looking for something else. And so sometimes it's through conversation. I would say we have a really nice network of bicycling clubs and organizations in Wisconsin. Bicycling, you might not be aware, but I was just in Waupaca by the Chain of Lakes this past weekend, and I found on Facebook the Stevens Point Cycling Club, and I actually was able to join them for a ride, and so they had posted on Facebook, and I was able to talk to them a little bit. It was funny because they were talking about the hills they were climbing, which are relatively were like, you know, bumps compared to La Crosse in the region that I'm from. So it was their hilly ride, and I thought, wow, this is really nice and flat. I'm really enjoying this, you know. But being able to have that communication and conversation is really helpful, because the surface really can differ. You know, even from here, sometimes we ride over in Minnesota, right on the border here, and the gravel over there is pretty different than the gravel like on the crushed limestone path. So even that, it can be a really big difference as well. But to answer your question, if someone asks me, I always say, like, you know, if you're more comfortable on a mountain bike, ride a mountain bike. Don't worry about, you know, oh, it should be a road bike. Doesn't matter. Whatever you're most comfortable on.
So don't so much worry about what it's called.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, anytime you want to go to your local bike shop, you will find people who want to talk to you about the local trails and what bikes they have and what's available and what's going to be the most comfortable for your style of riding and your frame.
Ezra, I commute around town on a former cyclocross bike with gravel tires, mountain bike gears, and it's just hodgepodge together because that's what I'm most comfortable on.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sort of a Franken bike.
Yes.
There we go.
It's shiny. So if you see me, it's a chrome 1990s masterpiece.
So looking at your website, Kirsten, at the Wisconsin Bike Fed website, I stumbled on the section about your complete streets advocacy, and I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit. It's a term I'm somewhat familiar with, but talk about what makes a street a complete street, and how you or others go about trying to get city leaders and state leaders to consider this when they're doing infrastructure projects.
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, Wisconsin used to have a complete streets policy, and it was terminated. And we're the only state in the entire country, unfortunately, that has repealed its complete streets policy. So that's kind of an embarrassment, and something that is now being worked on at the federal level to have a federal complete streets mandate. And what that means is when you use federal funds to redo a street, that the design of the street should take all users into consideration, not just people driving cars. So there should be sidewalks for people who are walking or pushing a stroller. There should be curb cuts for people who are using a wheelchair or, again, pushing something. It incorporates attractive street design with trees, with benches, with places for people who are waiting for a bus to be in the shade. It just takes all of the users of the street into consideration and just gets away from a strictly car-centric design mode.
And among you know, the idea being that everybody needs to be users of the infrastructure, it's not just about bicyclists either. I mean, this would benefit, it seems like this would benefit pedestrians. It would benefit people with disabilities and all kinds of folks.
Absolutely. And people who are using mass transit.
And as I mentioned earlier, it helps people in cars not have to worry about dodging a pedestrian or some of those other, they have concerns, right? Whether they're founded or not, it makes everyone safer by default.
So we're going to be talking in a little bit about the ride across Wisconsin, and I'm really eager to get into that conversation. But we've been talking about all kinds of information about the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Tell me, Kirsten, how people can get in touch with the organization and learn more.
Sure. Like I said, we have a great website, wisconsinbikefed.org. We have a lot of information about our programs, about our legislative agenda, and also information on how you can join.
All right, wisconsinbikefed.org. Kirsten Finn and Chris Stint are my guests today on Newsmakers. We're going to be right back in just a minute to talk about the ride across Wisconsin and talk about those people that do it in one day. I cannot imagine, but we'll hear all about it coming up. If you'd like to listen to a previous episode of Newsmakers, you can find them all on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. If you want to get in touch with the show, maybe you've got a comment or a question, you can do that by emailing us. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studios, joined by Kirsten Finn and Chris Stint from Wisconsin Bike Fed. And we're talking turning our attention to a very unique event, which is called Ride Across Wisconsin. And Chris is the ride organizer of Ride Across Wisconsin. Tell me all about it. What do I have to do?
Well, it depends. This year, you've got a lot of options. One of the things we were able to offer this year with the pandemic is 1 to 4 days to complete the rides. So if you're super fit and you're loving it and you want a lot of saddle time, you can start in La Crosse early in the morning, dark 30, and you can finish in Green Bay in that same day. If you are a little bit more casual and you want to take up to 4 days, you could leave on Friday morning and we have some stops along the way. Some folks are staying in hotels, transporting their luggage, and you can end up on Monday afternoon in Green Bay. And so that would be, it's about 240 miles. There's only one bluff climb, as we were just talking, Ezra, there's some big hills around here. And so there's only one on the route. And I think the total elevation is maybe about 5,000 feet. So it's really pretty manageable, relatively speaking, of course. And so only 60 miles a day if you do it over those 4 days.
Okay, that sounds doable, 60 miles a day. But you've got some people that do it in a single day from La Crosse to Green Bay. How much training does it take to be able to make that jaunt in one day?
There's no amount of training that's enough. no, I say that as a joke. It's hard to feel prepared for 240 miles. Before I agreed to be the event director in 2019, I told them that I needed to participate. And so I rode across, I did the ride in one day. I trained all summer long. I also did a ride across Minnesota as well. And I think the longest ride I did was maybe 110 miles. At a certain point, you learn how to eat and how to drink and refuel and what creams are the best for your parts that need creams. And you kind of get that sorted out. And then it's just kind of becomes mental where you just keep pedaling. And I was really fortunate. I would say there was maybe 700 riders, 800 riders, Kirsten, in
It was
2019.
929.
900. Yeah, it was big. But I somehow ended up about halfway through the day with a group of four or five guys that I ride regularly with in lacrosse. And I would say that made one of the biggest differences was having that crew to kind of motivate each other and support each other. One of the guys, his wife was out on the course, and then my wife and kids met us a couple times as well. And that was, it's kind of miraculous what a Coke and a hug from your kid can do when you're, in hour 9 of a 12 or 13 hour day. But there's no getting around it. I mean, it's an absolute challenge. But I think that's one of the things that's so cool about it is it's not something you do regularly. There's a ton of great charity rides, and I think they're all special for different reasons, but there's a feeling of accomplishment when you ride 225 miles and you find yourself in Green Bay. When you really think, I rode across this entire state in one day. Like I pedaled it myself. Yeah, you it feels special. I'll absolutely say that.
So is that fair to say that that might be the bicyclist's equivalent of a marathon?
Yeah, it's I've thought a lot about that. I think it's more than a marathon. I
You think
think this
so?
is like an
Okay.
ultra. Yeah. I think a century is what we call a 100 mile ride is more like that marathon. They're
Okay.
probably in a similar time frame. This is a ride for people like if you're familiar with like an ultra marathon or like the really long distance, like the 50 mile guys, that's more what I would probably say this is akin to. Even your typical avid cyclist, maybe someone down the block that you talk to that rides a bike regularly, most people are never riding 200 miles. That's essentially a double century is what we would call that. And this is more than that. So this is a special event. This is a big deal.
So when you did the ride across Wisconsin, Chris, what were you concentrating on scenery? Is it fair to ask you what your favorite part to see was?
I mean, absolutely. You can definitely ask. We got really high marks on the route. I think it was like a 9.5 out of 10. People really highly reviewed our route.
That's cool.
I'm biased. I grew up on the other side of the state, and it's fine. It's a nice. Wisconsin's a great state. I have no complaints anywhere. But the Driftless region where we live is kind of unparalleled. And so I think for me that beginning, while I was still feeling like I was home, I just really enjoyed it. But I will say, seeing the water in Green Bay, coming by Lambeau Field, and knowing you were there, and getting to see that bay, and knowing that you completed it, you get goosebumps really because it's such a special feeling. But again, no part of the route was bad. When I was just in Stevens Point this past weekend, I was actually riding part of the route, and I forgot. You get, you asked me that. What do I don't really remember the specifics of everything I saw. You definitely sometimes you put your head down and you stare at the butt of the guy in front of you or the gal in front of you, and you just keep pedaling, or you're drinking and you're eating, and you're not always taking in all the scenery. And so, I as I rode some of those sections, I thought, wow, this really is pretty. I could see why we really like this.
It takes a lot of planning to put something like this on. How do people learn how they can participate? Do they just show up on race day, or is this a sign up ahead of time thing, or what do they need to do?
Oh no. You definitely we need to know you're coming.
Yeah.
Please, we need to know you're coming. But you can sign up at rideacrosswisconsin.com. As Chris indicated, like nobody really is going to jump in and just do the full thing in one day. But if you do think you could do 50 to 60 miles per day, we still will take you at rideacrosswisconsin.com.
The event this year is different than 2019, which is the last time you have it out. Last year it was canceled due to COVID restrictions. But how is this year's event different from previous years?
Well, so it's been so challenging planning it because the entire planning period, things keep changing. The COVID restrictions loosened up, which we are very pleased about. When we first envisioned it, we thought it would be a 4-day ride where it would be just a self-supported ride. People could just start and end whenever they wanted. And as things became more possible, we decided to add things in, like put the rest stops back in. And we also are going to have some mass start times from Riverside Park in La Crosse. So if you're a 1 or a 2 day rider, we'll be leaving both on Friday and Saturday at 5 a.m. for the 1 day riders and at 6 a.m. for the 2 day riders. If you're doing it in 3 and 4 days, you can be a little bit more casual about when you start, because we don't worry so much about losing daylight if you're not riding quite as far.
And you talked about Chris talked about the training that is necessary to get ready for an event like this. But if someone is just interested in trying, maybe not all the way across the state, but maybe for the first time trying a longer ride, maybe something that takes most of the day, or even trying maybe an overnight ride for the first time, what's a reasonable way to get involved in the sport in on that level if what they're more used to is a few miles on the trail or commuting back and forth in town?
Kirsten said it earlier and is 100% correct. The local bike shops are just your best resource. There's a lot of things that go into, I think, into a comfortable bike ride, right? You need to have a bike that's tuned up properly. It's working properly. You need to have comfortable touch points. So your butt needs to be comfortable. And sometimes that's the saddle and sometimes that's bike shorts. It's helpful to have the right, you know, sometimes a cycling jersey is helpful. Sometimes it's not, depending on your comfort level. You know, maybe if you're digging out an old bike or you bought one used, it might need new grips or bar tape. So you get that comfort piece as well. And so there's some of it's like on that maintenance side. It's also helpful to know how to change a flat tire. That's a reality of riding a bicycle, is eventually you get a flat tire. And so whether you carry a pump and a spare tube or a patch, learning some of those pieces. And again, your local bike shop is going to be able to sell you that. And they're also going to teach you how to do it. And I think that's really helpful. And then, you know, beyond that, there's a full industry supporting bicycling. So you can go nuts. I mean, really, you know, when you talk about an overnighter or longer rides, there's different bags you can attach. There's different, you know, hydration systems, water bottles. I have a backpack that I carry water in, called like a Camelback. Different nutrition pieces. There's just all kinds of different stuff. So, you know, they make sort of like backpacking gear, but for bikes, backpacking gear, you know, so you could carry a tent in a sleeping bag if you're doing that kind of route, you know, cook stove, all of that. And I'm actually just getting my toes. That's like the one area of bicycling I don't do a whole lot of is the overnighters. But some people credit card tour. So they just put a bag on and it's got a change of clothes and they just ride someplace and sleep in a hotel and they ride back too. That's a nice way to do it if you're not having all that gear or you're not sure you're ready to purchase all that as well.
Part of this conversation, we've been talking a lot about your organization, a lot about the race. We've been doing some particulars and we've gotten some stories in between things, but I really want to give people a little bit of inspiration. And I know from talking to each of you beforehand that your riding styles are a little bit different. Kirsten, what's your favorite kind of bike ride? Like when you just want to get on the bike and enjoy riding, what is it that you're going to do?
Well, so I live in Milwaukee, and I really enjoy the Ozaukee Interurban Trail, which I like to take up to Port Washington, especially when it's really hot. There's a great moment where you kind of descend into Port Washington, and the temperature drops like 10 degrees. And on Saturday mornings, I like to go to the farmer's market there, maybe find a soccer club that's having a brat fry, sit on the corner on the curb and eat a brat. And, you know, I like to ride, you know, relatively slowly. I'll go 12, 15 miles an hour, see the scenery, talk to a girlfriend. You know, sometimes we'll stop and have a margarita and we need someone to come get us. I'm much more a casual rider than I would say that Chris is. But my pandemic purchase was an e-bike, which has really changed how I see using a bike for transportation. In terms of getting to work or going to a dinner party, I can ride my bike there and not show up all sweaty and disheveled, which is, you know, sometimes, you know, a concern for people. And so it's really kind of, you know, changed the way I look at what I can do on my bike.
So the e-bike it's got an electronic assist when you have trouble pedaling, right?
It does, right. You have to pedal. And you can choose what level of assist you want. Mine goes from Echo up to Turbo. And so you can, I'm not somebody who likes to go all that fast, even when I can. So I don't use Turbo all that often. One of the things that's funny though is when I ride home from work, I go by, well, I'm going to say Miller Park, but now it's American Family Field.
Okay.
I have to climb up out of the parking lot. And after a long day, that's when I like to put it on turbo because there's a lot of like cars waiting to get parked for a ball game. And, you know, you look cool if you can blow by them at, you know, 18, 19 miles an hour. Going straight up. They're like, woo, that lady's so fast.
Chris, what about you? When you're just, I mean, you talked about taking the kids to school and that kind of thing, but when you're just Chris wanting to kick back and get out on your bike, what's your go-to?
It's so tough, Ezra. I truly love bicycling. Like I don't just say that. Like, I mean, whatever bike that I've just ridden is my favorite bike. Every time I ride the trails here that we have on the cross, I get done and I just am like in a better mood. I'm just feeling happy. And I say to my wife, I should be doing that more. I should be riding these trails more often. I love it. My wife and I will go on dates. She's a cyclist as well. I tricked her into it a few years ago. And so like we, you know, we get a babysitter for the kids and we actually go out and ride our bikes together. I love the community that we have here in La Crosse. I do regularly do group rides again. Every time I get done, I think that was awesome. I need to do that more. We have an old guy coffee clutch where we ride our bikes at 5:30 in the morning, which is too early for me. And then we sit around and have coffee on Friday mornings at 6:30 at Global Grounds. It's been happening for years. We had our picture on the wall for a while. And again, it's just such a cool opportunity to learn and get that history. And then I also do training in fast stuff as well. I like that. Tomorrow night, one of the local bike shop is putting on a short track race, which is a 1 mile mountain bike loop that you do like 6 laps of all out, you know, just absolutely throttling yourself. It's a type 2 kind of fun where you hate it. And then you get done, you're like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a rare day that goes by that I am not on some kind of bike, and that could just be taking my kids to school, which I love doing that. And then even like Kirsten said, I don't have an e-bike yet, but we just went to one car, my wife and I, and we're pending availability. Certainly if you've been paying attention, bicycles are difficult to get right now. But we're both looking at getting e-bikes because we both work from home part-time. And when one of us needs to buzz somewhere, it's a lot more, I think, accessible to do. And so, again, I'm excited for that opportunity. I have many bicycles and I love riding all of them.
Well, it's a very interesting conversation. I've enjoyed talking to both of you about bicycling and about the ride across Wisconsin and about your organization. Kirsten, one more time, give us the information where people can find information about the Wisconsin Bike Fed and about the ride across Wisconsin.
Sure. The Wisconsin Bike Fed is wisconsinbikefed.org, and we have a link on there, a pop-up right now that takes you right to Ride Across Wisconsin, or you can go directly to rideacrosswisconsin.com.
All right. Kirsten Finn, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Bike Fed, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Chris Stint is the ride organizer for Ride Across Wisconsin and also with Wisconsin Bike Fed. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. In a moment, you will be continuing our conversation about bicycling. We're going to talk to the proprietor of Wrench and Roll Collective, which is on Caledonia Street in La Crosse, about some interesting programs they've got going on. Until then, stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our southwestern bureau in Wisconsin, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, of course. And we're talking about bicycling today. Heard earlier from the Wisconsin Bike Fed and their upcoming event, the Ride Across Wisconsin, which is, of course, you can do it in one day or up to 4 days, as you heard. Now we're turning our attention locally to a shop on the north side called Wrench and Roll Collective. Matthew Kristen is joining us from that location. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us on Newsmakers.
Glad to be here.
I'm interested in hearing about your shop. We've got a lot of bike shops in the area. I've got friends and family and myself who have purchased things from any number of current and former shops that exist, and I'm not here to disparage any of them. It's a little bit different feel when you walk into Wrench and Roll Collective, though. Tell me about your shop and what makes it unique.
So wrench and roll on the outset is not too atypical. It's just that we have a model that uses both pre-owned and new bikes for purchase. Part of the character of the shop is that we basically believe that somebody walks in, they should leave a little more knowledgeable than when they came in. So we do our utmost to have things available that we can use to teach with, but also to help educate riders, because we believe that as riders improve, get the best out of their experience by knowing some tips and things to help them, that ride experience will improve and they'll be more apt to be out on a bicycle. So we believe that we're more than a bike shop. We offer classes and sessions. We try to promote a variety of ways that the community can engage in cycling. And so that's inherently our mission.
What first got you interested? I mean, you know, kids learn to ride bikes as children or whatever, but what got you interested in bicycling as more of an involved either sport or transport, or how did you get involved in the broader aspects of it?
Like most of my generation, we did a lot of walking and bicycling to where we needed to get around. I grew up out east in the city of Pittsburgh, and we spent a large portion of our day on a bicycle. But it really transformed as in high school, I started our very first bicycle club in our high school. And it was the idea that we could go longer distances on our bicycle. And so we tried to promote that within the student body. You know, by the time I got to college, I was using bicycle for transportation. And then I moved out west and the bicycle became a long distance tool. I started touring. I probably have done over 75,000 miles on a bicycle in my life on 4 out of the 6 main continents. And there isn't anything I would enjoy more than waking up in the morning and know that all I've got to do today is to spend time on a bike checking out the world. And so part of my passion is to share that with as many other people, both in the functional aspects of getting a bike to where you need to go. I moved from that into, I started an after-school program at Logan Middle School to try and promote more kids to get on bikes and do it more safely. And that was an after-school program called Logan Bike Works. And at the same time, I bought a bicycle. And, you know, as we often have, our spouses don't kind of see exactly the same in terms of how many bikes you should have. So my rationale on that bike was that I would use it in transportation too, and I would pay it off with the gas and savings. So we had a little kiosk up at the school, and every week we would adjust how many miles I had ridden, and the goal was to pay off the bike, and I had to go 7,525 miles. So we kept track of that. And then I also tried to include it in my science classes where if you use a bike or walk, you save a pound a mile of CO2 from going into the atmosphere. So every time I'd get 2,000 miles, we'd have a one-ton party. And that was good educational tool, especially when the kids are like, hey, why are we getting root beer floats today?
Do you really need an excuse for root beer floats, though?
No, but, you know, it helped.
When you look at a community like either the city of La Crosse, the surrounding areas of the greater Coulee region, even more broadly throughout the Driftless area, what do you see as important areas of advocacy, either like on a city or county or area-wide level, that would be beneficial for the bicycling community?
Well, in general, I think that we've done an incredibly good job at in the engineering and planning departments here and in Onalaska to promote. You know, when I first moved here in the mid-90s, I would have considered the area terrible for in terms of bicycle infrastructure and bicycle safety and being able to bike where you needed to go. In the last 25 years or so, we've seen a lot remarkable improvement. I think that the city of La Crosse should be really commended for its foresight, because when COVID hit last year and people were taken to the trails and riding and walking more, we really had a decent infrastructure to help provide people with lots of opportunities. And so we've done a marvelous job. The areas that we need to improve is, one, we really need the business community to understand the role of bicycle and pedestrian alternative options for transportation and the key economic role that that plays. Simply put, the cost of getting cars to businesses is way, way more expensive than bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. And to understand that it provides. So, I mean, just for instance, a bike lane in front of a retail section can improve retail sales from 3 to 49%. That's been proven across the country. And to understand how that figures into not only people being able to ride functionally, but also the whole aspect of people using bicycles for their wellness, and the fact that when businesses have that kind of impact on the infrastructure, it has a huge impact on the healthcare costs around. I mean, you know, our rate of overweight and obesity is just continuing to rise to the point, you know, in another 8-9 years, over 50% of the population in Wisconsin will be obese. And, you know, those include a lot of healthcare costs. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways that the ramifications for being active really impacts us economically. And I really feel like the business community needs to embrace that in a greater way, not just the bottom line dollar, what's it costing me today and how much is it, you know, but looking at how it can improve overall. The second area is that how we in the city of La Crosse is continuing to work on it with their complete street screen policy is to make routes complete. In other words, when you start to walk somewhere and bike somewhere, you can get there without having to step into the street because there's the sidewalk ends, or you know, you don't have to hunt around for an alternate bike route because there's, you know, now you're having to cross or deal with West Avenue or downtown 4th Street. And so having a mindfulness about completing routes for people and making those more useful. The other aspect is education, helping the community at large understand, you know, all the benefits, the ramifications, and the costs involved in just focusing on vehicle transportation.
We're talking with Matthew Kristen, who is the owner of Wrench and Roll Collective. It's a bike shop on Caledonia Street in La Crosse on the north side. And we're talking about bicycling today. Matthew's been talking a little bit about advocacy. And I have a question about getting into biking, or maybe getting back into biking. I bought my first bike in a little while, a year and a half ago or so. And I was surprised at how much the cost of bicycles had changed in the 20 or so years since the last time I bought a bicycle. And I found that it was, for a person, I'm a pretty big guy, for a person of my weight, it was really hard to even find a rideable bike for less than $500. If somebody just doesn't have a ton of money to spend, are they going to just be disappointed if they go get like a supermarket bike, or how what's the best way to find something affordable?
Well, nothing to put down the Walton family, but department store bikes are fraught with problems. First off, they're put together by whoever happens to be working that day, whether it's an adult or a high schooler or whatever. The second thing is that those prices are there because they've been able to cut corners, whether it's the cheapest raw material in the steel, or it's the cheapest brake sets, or the cheapest shifters and whatnot. And so they're designed as throwaway bikes. And while they can get somebody out and off the couch, which is a good thing, they're really not designed to last. So what do I do now? Well, The second thing is to look at pre-owned bikes. It is problematic to go on to Facebook Market or Craigslist because we do have a theft problem in the city, and some of those bikes are ending up there. And so it's really important that if somebody does find a bike, that they call the city and ask for the records department to check on a report. And likewise, if people don't report their bike stolen, it's not going to help us either. But we do see a fair number that come through our shop that are more than likely stolen, but there's no way to prove it. But the second thing is to look at name brand bikes. Name brand bikes have been building good, solid bikes for quite a long time. And so to refurbish those, whether it costs $100, $152, $250, is still a great way to get yourself a bike and get on and have it work well for quite a long time. There are some great bikes. The thing is, take it to a bike shop and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this, or I just bought it. What's it need? Almost invariably, if you buy a used bike online or from somebody at a garage sale or anything like that, it will need work. There's no doubt about it. How much is another question, but if you stick to the name brands, you're going to be in pretty decent shape.
What are some of these name brands that people should be looking for if they don't know?
So Jamis, Marin, Trek, Giant, Specialized, those are going to be the five biggies that you'll see. There are a few, you'll see Fuji out there. You'll see Diamondback. Raleigh is a decent brand. When I say name brand, that's what I'm referring to.
Okay. So
the other thing that you can do is use Bicycle Blue Book if you're interested in actually finding out the value of a bike. They have quite a few on there. And so, that can help somebody gauge whether somebody's charging them a decent or affordable price.
Bicycle Blue Book, is that an online resource?
Yep, just like Kelly Blue Book.
Okay. Cool. I didn't know about that. I'm going to look it up. You talked about before we let you go. I was intrigued when you talk about touring on the bike, and you talked about having been all over the world. What's the most exciting place you were touring on a bicycle?
Well, probably the ultimate experience. I did do Hainan Island, which is in the South China Sea.
Oh, wow.
That was a pretty cool place. The one that was probably one of the bigger highlights in my life was to hit the Madonna de Gasalo Shrine and the Bicycle Museum just south of Bellagio, Italy. Incredible place. I also found a wood-framed manufacturer there, which I have some in the shop. And so it's a great place. One of the other things I want to mention before we go is Wrench and Roll is trying to do a lot to help people get off the couch and pedal. We have a series on Thursday mornings to help them, and just as you mentioned, you haven't ridden a bike in a while. What are some tips that can help my riding experience improve? We've got an adventure cycling series where once a month you learn about how to use the bike to go on overnight destinations. The Cooley region is filled, rich with places that you can bike and have a really great, enjoyable experience. We also have Wrench and Roll, where you can come and learn a little bit and then go for a bike ride. There's a variety of ways, and I know other bike shops are doing things to engage people. Now that you're getting back on your bike, how can we make it a better experience? So something to keep in mind, checking out the Facebook pages and the websites and checking in with your local bike shop and see what's going on.
And where can people find more information about some of the opportunities that you mentioned?
We have ours posted on our Facebook page, so Wrench and Roll Collective. We also post them on the calendars for the La Crosse Visitors Bureau. We also will be switching out our website this weekend and looking at a new calendar of events there. They can call the shop, look for posters. We usually have flyers up. So a few different ways.
Sounds very good. Matthew Kristen is with Wrench and Roll Collective on La Crosse's north side there on Caledonia Street. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us on Newsmakers.
Oh, great to be here.
And of course, if you would like to catch the rest of this conversation you might have missed or a previous episode, you can find them all on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. If you got a question or a comment for the show, hit us up. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program originates 10 a.m. Fridays on the Ideas Network 90.3. We repeat 7 p.m. Fridays on NPR News and Music 88.9. My producer is Dawn Jewell, whom I thank very much. I'm Ezra Wall. Please join us again next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.